Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Go to the Lord in prayer before we enter into worship today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to celebrate you. Father, where we have this body of believers coming here to enter into your presence. Father, just let your Holy Spirit pour down on each one of us. Open our hearts and our minds. Father, be with those that are hurting or can't be with us this morning. May they know that you are right there with them as well. We pray all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's rise.
Thank you. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free.
Whew. Talking about everything Jesus has done for me and all the things he's done for the friends and family in our lives and the way that he answers prayer. This is that moment in our church where we take to God the three people in our lives that need Jesus. And I got amazing reports this week. There's more people asking questions, starting to show up at church. People are being able to share the gospel with people they haven't been able to before, showing scripture to people that they have never been able to have those conversations with before. God is moving, and it's because it's the body of Christ coming together and lifting this up together. It is not just about an individual thing. It is about us as the body coming together and praying for these people. If you've not joined in yet, we have the cards out there where you can put three people that you know need Jesus. And you pray for them daily. Put it in your wallet. Put it on the mirror. Put it in your car. Wherever you will notice it. And daily lift them up in prayer. Because prayer works. We go to our Heavenly Father who knows better than any of us on what is needed. So as we prepare to go into prayer to pray for these three people in our lives, let us just lift up. You guys can lift up your own individual three, and I will pray over the congregation. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and to pray for the people in our lives that need you. Father, we pray for that appointed time this week for these people, that time where you give us the words to share what you have for them. Father, we ask that their hardened hearts be softened, that they may get to know who you are, that they may pursue a relationship with you. Father, we ask that we just trust in you in those moments when the opportunity comes. That it's not about our fancy words. It's not about that. It's simply showing your love to them, and that they may have a hunger and desire to learn more and learn to hand their life over to you. Father, I pray, even if it's not us who are supposed to have that conversation, that it's the right person comes along in those moments and shares Jesus with them. Father, we don't want to see a single person go through their life without knowing you. And we know no hope is lost until that last breath. Father, we lift them up to you all over the place. And we pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
The wonder of your birth, the There. You know, in Psalms 23, it says he leads me through, not leads us there. He leads us through. That's the God that we're worshiping this morning. Amen.
Thank you.
won't be shaken.
Next to a neighbor for like 10 years. He owned the local Domino's store, and we just became friends because we actually shared the same driveway with them. And we never preached to them. We never talked to them about church. Yeah, they knew exactly where we stood. They knew exactly what we were talking about when we were like, hey, we're going to church. We're excited about it. They never once came to church with us. Never once showed any interest. Every once in a while there'd be, you know, a little talk here or there, but nothing big, nothing really talk about them. And then we move away from that, and four years ago, I get a phone call. This guy I haven't talked to, I mean, we're friends on Facebook and whatever, but I haven't talked to him for probably 5 years. He calls me up and he says, hey, what's that church that you guys go to? Lo and behold, just on Easter morning, their kids were baptized. Come on. We never once preached, harassed. We never once beat the Bible over their head. We just lived our life. We let our actions speak louder than words. And I pray that for you this morning, that that's how you live your life. Don't ever stop praying. Don't ever give up on a kid that might be lost. You never know. You might get that phone call. It says, hey, what time does church start? God works just like that. Isn't that awesome?
Thank you.
declare that this morning.
You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down.
Come on, you see it.
You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down.
Good morning. That was fun. Man, I praise God that we can be here this morning. And man, is he good. We get to join together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, get to celebrate our Heavenly Father and what he's done for our lives this morning. I want to welcome our guests that are joining us and also those that are joining us online and the radio. We're glad that you could join us, even if it's from a distance. But before we dive into the message this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the beautiful weather you've given us this weekend, the opportunity we've had to come together and to praise and to worship you. Father, I pray this morning that strongholds be torn down, that anything that's holding us back is removed. Father, if there's any baggage from this week that we're holding on to, that we just set it aside and we hand it over to you this morning. Soften even the hardest of hearts so they may hear your words this morning. Father, I pray that it is your words that come out of my mouth this morning and not my own. And Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. And Father, we pray for your presence this morning, that we may know that you are here with us. We pray this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, last week, we talked about how there was a man who was paralyzed, who could no longer take care of himself, how he was stuck in bed night and day. Yet this man had four people that stood in his corner. And the Bible doesn't tell us much about this man before this moment, but it does tell us the fact that he had these four friends that loved and cared for him. We know his friends were watching out for him. They understood their friend was in dire need. They understood that Jesus was the only person that could help their friend, and that it was only Jesus that could restore their friend. So they did whatever they could to take him to Jesus and to teach him and his teachings. And when they got there, they noticed that the place was full, that everything was packed, and they couldn't just get their friend in there all easy. But they didn't just abandon him and walk away. No, they stayed in his corner. They were willing to do whatever they had to get their friend to Jesus, to the point that they cut a hole in someone else's roof and lowered their friend down to see Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus saw the faith of these men, and he forgave his sins and he healed them. The question last week was, who's in your corner? Who's that person that stands in your corner, who is there with you and carries you to Jesus when you can no longer stand on your own? One of the things that stood out to me in the scripture, though, is how cynical the religious leaders were throughout that process. How they looked at Jesus and said, "There, he can't do this." They knew the scriptures. They knew the word of God. They were supposed to be the experts. And yet, they couldn't wrap their heads around what Jesus was doing. They couldn't see what God was trying to do in the everyday life. They were so set in their ways, they could no longer see God move. They were stuck. You know, it's easy for us to get caught up in the same way of thinking. We read the scriptures out of habit, and we don't even notice what God is saying or doing in his passages anymore. It becomes almost redundant. This morning, we are in Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. It's where we see the call of Matthew, also known as Levi. So this morning, if you hear the text say Levi, and I say Matthew, that's why. It's the same person. But let's dive in. We're going to start with verse 13 this morning, where it tells us, Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. This is one of those passages that we can just read over and not pick up what all is going on. Here's another text, if you haven't noticed the pattern here, it's another text of Jesus teaching. And we miss the importance of it all. How Jesus was out among the crowds, among the lost, and he was pointing them back to their Heavenly Father, giving us an example of what each one of us is called to do. We miss it because we've gotten so used to seeing it, we don't give it much thought. You know, there's a reason it is repeated over and over again. It's to get the message through to us of what God expects out of us. How often does that happen in your study time? How often do we miss the big picture of what God is trying to teach us? You know, I remember when I was working on my last degree, I had to read a lot of books. And I mean, I had to read a lot of books and I had to read them quickly. And there would be times I would be sitting there and I just finished a chapter in the book and I go, wait a minute, what did I just read? I did not recall what I had just read and I'd have to go because it became redundant. You're sitting there and you're going over it again and again. We can do the same thing when it comes to our time reading the scriptures. We can sit there and just kind of look at it as a checklist. We know that we're called to read the scriptures. We know that it's supposed to be good for us. And the pastor said we should read God's word. But life is busy. So we just kind of ram through it quickly and get it done for the day so we can put our little check mark down. By doing that, though, we miss the details of what God is trying to say to us. Instead, we just say, hey, I got my reading done for the day, pat ourselves on the back, and we move on. My question is, can you tell others what you read today? Can you tell others what God is saying to you through his word and through your studies that morning? You know, the Pharisees in Jesus' day did the same thing. They were called to be the experts of the law. They were called to know God's word better than anyone else. Yet the truth is, they were experts in tradition, not necessarily experts of God's word. They read what they wanted to hear, and they took the text that fit into what they wanted it to say. We miss so much of what God is trying to say in his text because of this. And they miss so much. You know, in our churches in America, when we read things like this, where it talks about Jesus teaching, we often think of, well, that's the pastor's job. That's the pastor's job to teach. But the truth is, we're all called to teach. Now, don't get me wrong, your job teaching may not include coming up front in the pulpit. That may not be where it is. But you're still called to teach the people around you. You're still called to teach people about God's word and about who Jesus is in your everyday life. You're called to teach your family about God's word and encourage them. You're called to teach your friends through the word and your actions and the love that God has for them. You're called to do all of that. And as the scriptures has shown us, Jesus did this everywhere he went, just as we are called to do the same. Our faith is not to be practiced in one place or in secret. Instead, it is to be shared everywhere we go, a lot of times not even with our words, but with our actions. and the way we look at people and the way we treat people. People shouldn't be surprised when they hear that you're a Christian. That should be given on the way that you handle other people, communicate with the world around you. It's through us sharing our faith that we reach the lost for Christ, where we reach people that don't know Jesus, who don't have that relationship with God. And that includes reaching out to the outcasts, the ones that others may have tossed to the side and looked at as a hopeless cause. I know Jesus himself gives an example of this in verse 14 this morning. And it says, then passing by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. And he got up and he followed him. When we just read through the text at its basics, we don't give this verse a lot of thought other than Jesus is asking someone to follow him again. And throughout the scriptures, we see Jesus calling people to follow him all the time. Or we see his disciples later on calling people to come and follow Jesus. You know, it's kind of a pretty big theme throughout the scriptures. Calling people to follow Jesus is done over and over again. But there's a lot more to this verse for us to understand. First, we know that Jesus is still in the Galilean region. Okay, at that moment in the text, it says that he was passing by a tax office. Now, the tax office would have been the equivalent to a modern-day toll gate. Okay, that would have been the tax office. Somewhere along the road between Damascus and the Mediterranean Sea. Now, this area was a key military area for Rome, along with a thriving business community, with merchants passing through from as far away as Egypt to the south and Mesopotamia to the north. And as the people and the merchants passed through, they would have to pay a tax to travel on this route. Levi, who is also known as Matthew, the same Matthew who became one of the 12 disciples, he was one of the three in the inner circle with Jesus. He wrote the book of Matthew in the New Testament. He was instrumental in forming the first century church. It was that Matthew that was the local tax collector. It was that Matthew. Now, who in here is a fan of paying their taxes? Don't get me wrong, they're important for many reasons. But most of us would agree that we want to pay the absolute minimum required by law. But at this time in history, tax collectors were some of the most hated people in Israel. See, for in order to become a tax collector, a person had to purchase the rights for the business from Rome. They didn't just go and apply for a job. They had to go out and actually pay Rome to be allowed to do this. And then they would go out and collect taxes for Rome. On top of collecting taxes for Rome, they would charge whatever they wanted on top of Rome's basic fee. They were not looked at as honest, trustworthy people because they would often upcharge quite a bit. That's how they built their wealth. And here was Matthew, who was a Galilean and a Jew. And in their eyes, he was working for the enemy. He had become the enemy. He was considered a traitor by his own community. Because of this, he wasn't just looked at as a traitor. He was excommunicated from his community. They would have as little to do with him as possible. He was even banned from the synagogues. No longer allowed to come and worship God. No longer allowed to fellowship with God's people. Wouldn't have been able to go give an offering. Wouldn't have been able to do any of that. He was shoved out and away. Almost worse than a leper, the people would have looked at him. His own family would have disavowed him. In his family's eyes, he would have been basically dead. Yet Jesus came to him and said, follow me. Jesus understood who he was. Jesus understood what he did for a living. He understood the way others looked at him. Yet Jesus said, follow me. When everyone else saw him as an enemy, Jesus understood who he would become. He understood the calling that God had placed on Matthew's life. He didn't look at him as who he had been. He looked at him on who he would become. There are people we may look at as the enemy in our own lives. You know, it's easy to spot Matthew in our lives, in our society. There are always the people in our community that we don't want to reach out to. There are always the people that we don't want to associate with. because we see them as the enemy. But let me remind you, there was a time in your life that you were once an enemy of Christ. There was a time in your life when you were not walking with Jesus and not living the life that you were called to live. And Jesus didn't reject you. Instead, he invited you in for fellowship with him. He invited you into a personal relationship with him. And praise God that he did that, because look at the way he has transformed your life. I look at the way that he's transformed my life. I praise God I'm not the same person I used to be. And the same God that transformed my life and your life transformed Matthew's life, the outsider. And he's still calling for the outsiders to come in and fellowship with him. He's still looking to transform lives. He hasn't stopped. That mission never ended. What a glorious God we serve. Giving hope to the hopeless. Giving rest to the weary. Those who don't know where to go. And it's our job to proclaim that message to the world around us. When Jesus invited Matthew to come follow him, he had a big choice to make. To follow Jesus meant he would have to leave his old way of life behind. Matthew made a choice to follow after Jesus, leaving his old way of thinking, his old life behind, everything he was doing beforehand. You know, so often when people first encounter Jesus or come to Christ, they want to keep parts of your old life. How many of us have struggled at times when we're trying to hang on to our old lives? We want Jesus, we like what he has to offer, but we're trying to hold on to that little bit of our lives because we don't want to turn it all over. We just want to fit Jesus into that mix. My brother, as a missionary, said one of the most challenging things over in Thailand to do was he would present Jesus to people and they'd be like, I like Jesus, I like this idea, I'll just add him to my list of gods. And getting them to understand it is the one and only God. We laugh at that, but the truth is, who is the God in your life? Is it Jesus, or do you have other people or your own self that's your own God in there and you're just trying to mix him into the mix? We're called to fully surrender. God, the Bible teaches us that when we come to Christ, we are to leave our old way of life behind. It tells us in Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed by the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness, in righteousness and purity of the truth. When we come to Jesus, our lives are to begin to change. The desires that we had before begin to change. For some, it is a quicker process than others. It's the battle of our flesh versus what God has called us for. I'm not talking about a one-time encounter, but running full force after God. It's one thing to be a fan, it's another to fully surrender. Have you surrendered your life this morning fully? To the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end? The creator of the universe, the one true God? Or are you still trying to hold on to your own way of thinking? Are you still trying to hold on to your old life? Because let me tell you, once you fully surrender, that's when life begins to change. That's when things start to go a different way. We know Matthew's life was transformed. He went from being an outsider, he went from being someone that was rejected by the world around him, to sharing a meal with his Savior. His entire life was flipped upside down. You know, it tells us in verse 15 that while he was reclining at the table at Levi's house, also Matthew, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who were following him. Here he was, an outsider, eating with a rabbi, and not just any rabbi either, the Messiah himself. He went from being a traitor, one that people looked at as a lowlife, a sellout to his own people, banned from the synagogues, to eating with Jesus. Matthew was so excited for this that he invited the other outcasts in the community to come and do life with him and to share this meal with Jesus. He invited tax collectors to come and meet with Jesus. You know, we've talked about this before. When someone comes to Christ, they're often the best at sharing the gospel because they don't overthink it. They simply know Jesus and they share Jesus. They understood what their life was like before. And they bring their friends and family along for the journey so they too can discover what Jesus has done in their life. I think sometimes for us that have been walking with God for a long time can almost become a little cynical, because it's been so long since we were in that struggle alone that we no longer seem to relate to people that are out there living the struggle right now. That people are out there that don't know God and are trying to get through day to day. And I don't know how people do it without Jesus. I really don't know how this world faces everything that keeps being thrown at them without Jesus by their side. Because praise God, I've got him right there with me in the mud and the muck and everything else that the world wants to throw at us. Oh, to have their passion again for those new believers. You know, look back on your life. When was the last time you sat down and shared a meal with someone that didn't know Jesus? I don't mean preach to them, just simply invited them to have a meal with. When was the last time that you told somebody that Jesus loved them that didn't know Jesus? You know, I look back on my own life, and that first time I come to Christ, I was telling everybody about it. I was telling everybody that would hear what Jesus was doing in my life and the way he had changed me. But there were always people who were trying to dim that light. Some of you have heard me say this recently. My own brother, little brother, earlier this year came to Jesus. Praise God for that. And he discovered that saving grace of a Savior. And I love everything about it. And he went to start a new job. And he was telling me about it. He met this one of his coworkers. And he introduced himself. Hi, I'm Nick, and I'm a baby Christian. That's how he introduced himself. He goes, I don't know a lot about Jesus, but I know he saved me. When was the last time we were willing to say that? Just boldly like that. Never met him before. And he's got a smile on his face. You can't take that smile away. I love that he has this passion to declare the word of God has changed his life and how Jesus has entered it and transformed it. And he's trying to walk it out. And man, I pray he never loses it. I hope no one ever tries to dim that light that he's got going on right now. But there's always those people that'll push back. We can become so consumed with the religious aspect of life that we miss what God is trying to do in our midst. We get so consumed about, do we have the right songs? Is the service order correct? Are we doing this right? Did we make sure to remember this tradition that we've always done? That we miss what God is trying to do in our midst, just like the Pharisees at the time of Jesus. They had the Messiah right there, and they missed him. Because they were so concerned about what they'd always done. They saw Jesus eating with sinners, and they couldn't believe it. It tells us in verse 16 that when the scribes who were Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? I feel like there was a huh at the end of that passage. Like, there was just an utter disgust among them. How dare he do this? They couldn't understand what Jesus was doing in that moment. They couldn't understand why he would sit there and share a meal with the outsiders. They scoffed at him. They pushed back on his disciples. Does he not know who these people are? Does he not know what kind of people that he's surrounded with? You see, when Jesus was eating with sinners, we generally think of the people as the tax collectors, the prostitutes. We think of the people with questionable moral character. We think of the drunks and the drug addicts. We think of the liars and the cheats of this world. But for the Pharisees, when they saw this, they looked at a sinner as anyone who did not follow their tradition and their way of doing it. Anyone that pushed back on their way of thinking was considered a sinner. And they refused to interact with those people. They treated them as if they had leprosy. And they were scared that if they interacted with them, they would become unclean themselves. I think sometimes we do that too. We're scared that when we reach out, that people will look at us as those people. What holds us back from being the hands and feet of Jesus? What holds us back from reaching out to the lost in the world around us? Are we too scared that people will look at us differently if we interact with the world? Are we scared that people will look at us as drunks or drug users? Or worse, if we sat down with sinners in our lives? May we remember that we too were once sinners who needed grace. We were once two people that were lost and needed Jesus. And praise God, someone came along and shared Jesus with us. Even if you grew up in a Christian home, even if you've gone to church your entire life, there is still that moment that you had to come to of the understanding of the need for Jesus, and someone had to share it with you. And praise God, that person was willing to get down into the dirt with you and lift you up and not just let you sit there. That they were willing to show you Jesus. And it is now your turn to do the same for others. Christianity is not for the people who think they've already good, that they're already good. It's not for the ones that think they have their life together. Christianity is for the people who know they have failed and need a Savior. It is for the ones who want help to overcome the sins in their lives, their problems, and so forth, that we know that we can go to our Savior and put it at His feet, and He takes it from us, that we no longer have to carry the burden, that we are not doing this life alone anymore. That is the point of Jesus coming, to restore us back to our Heavenly Father, to take away those burdens. You know, Jesus reminds the Pharisee in verse 17. It says, when Jesus heard this, he told them, it is not those who are well who need a doctor, but those who are sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Jesus is not saying the Pharisees were not sick. But what he was saying is that the person needs to realize their own sickness first. We know when we go to a doctor, it's not generally crammed full of healthy people excited to see a doctor. In fact, I don't think I've ever been excited to walk into a doctor's office. No, we normally don't go to a doctor until we understand that we're sick. Then we turn to the doctor. So it is with sin. So it is with sickness of the soul. It's not until someone understands their own sin in their lives will they turn to Jesus. When we feel off in our lives, when things don't seem to be coming together, we can go to our Heavenly Father, our great physician, and He shows us what's wrong. What we need to learn to let go of and turn over to God and let Him take control. Do you know He's already written you a prescription? It's right here. And it tells us the antidote is Jesus. He's already given us the instructions we need. Learning what it means to allow Him to heal us is one of the things that we need to do. Learn to let go and let God take control. It's not religion that saves us. It's not religion that heals us, that restores us. It's simply Jesus. Our Heavenly Father makes us new again. He brings us hope when we feel there is no hope. When was the last time that you just turned something over to God that you were struggling with? When was the last time that you saw somebody down in the pit and you gave them a hand and told them about the love that God has for them, that reminded them of what God is doing for them? You know, there's been many a moments I could tell you in my own life where God has reached out, where God has allowed me to be used, and where He's used other people to reach out to me. You know, I believe I shared this one story before, but I think I need to share it this morning again. There was a time I went to the Indy 500 race with my dad. We rode down on motorcycles. We came across this young lady who decided she was going to join us for dinner. And her shock when she found out I was a pastor. We're at Steak and Shake at 1 o'clock in the morning. And something was telling me something was going on. And we ended up praying with her and talking with her and sharing the gospel with her. And she took off. Later, she added me on Facebook. And you know what she did? She messaged me later and said, you don't know how much that night meant to me. And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, that night my game plan was to go eat one more meal and then I was going to go jump off of that bridge because I was done with life. Nothing seemed to matter anymore. How many people do you know that are done with life? That just can't handle it anymore? They just need Jesus because He will transform everything. Before I was with Jesus, my life, I looked everywhere around the world for peace, and I found none. Matthew, I guarantee you, was searching, trying to figure out, what do I do in this life? I've got all this money, I've got all this possession, I've got all of this, but nothing is bringing me joy. And it wasn't until he found Jesus. that his life was transformed. Have you met Jesus? Are you sharing Jesus with the lost around you? We need to start being the hands and feet of Jesus. We need to show our community that they matter, that they need Christ. And we can do it in a loving way. It doesn't mean you got to go preach. It could be your actions, your words. You're willing to pray for someone right there on the spot. You know, something I heard from somebody here, one of the best sayings that I hold to, anything worth praying for is worth praying for now. When someone says, can you pray for that? Yes, let's do it right now. It doesn't need to be these eloquent words. It doesn't need to be fancy. It is simply going to our Father in prayer and handing it over to him. And we don't know what kind of impact that can have on someone's life. You may even save it one day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and to share your great mercy. Father, I ask that this morning that we may just surrender to you. Whatever we're holding on to, whatever we're holding back, Father, that we may not rely on religion to save us, but that we may remember that we have a Heavenly Father above that loves us and cares for us, that transforms the lives. Father, it's not our job to save people, but it's to introduce people to the one who can, the one who went to Calvary for each one of us. May we not take that for granted. And may we constantly fight for that one more. May we constantly share what you have for us with the world around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Splendor of the King, in clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice. Come on, sing it out. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And oh, we'll see how great is our God. God had three years.
Close out this morning. If anybody here doesn't know who Jesus is and wants that peace, please come see me. Come talk to the person that's next to you this morning. Talk to one of the elders. I promise you, anybody in this building would be more than glad to explain that and pray with you if you're ready to accept that free gift of salvation. And I promise you, they would consider it an honor to be able to do such. As you go out this week, may you be the hands and feet of Jesus, and remember the love that he has for each one of you and those around you. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.